With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Right now it's 16 minutes past the big hour. Is that not right, Mr. Scream? Great, good stuff. I think people are getting really cranky.
Hello, welcome back into Colorado's biggest and best live hockey show. This is the hockey show right here on Mile High Sports. JJ Derez, Ryan Boulding. We're going to the man advantage. We've got Mike Rousseau, maybe Michael Rousseau of the Athletic Minnesota. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. Is it Michael or do you prefer Mike?
Buddies call me Mike, so you can go with that.
Oh, yeah. We're buddies.
We're buddies
right.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time.
We're buddies for now. I'll see what we are in a couple minutes.
Touche.
Hey, we'll be easy on you here. I wanted to start with this simple question. Ryan and I just had a little conversation about Cinderella teams, right? With the March Madness theme going on here. And we really talked about Minnesota, not so much that they're a surprise, because everybody expected them to be a playoff team this year, but it seems like they're having a better year so far than anticipated. Is that kind of what you're picking up too, or did you kind of see this nice little run coming here?
You know what? I wouldn't say that, definitely, especially when they came out of their COVID outbreak and they were, you know, pretty mediocre at that point, but they've been on fire ever since. Maybe the outbreak came at a good point and they got everybody rested, but you know, it's really hard to tell how good this team is, guys. Like we saw them the other night get absolutely worked by the Avalanche, and you know they're I'm trying to remember. They're 2-1-1 against Vegas. They're 2-3 against Colorado. They haven't played St. Louis yet, and they beat up on all the cupcakes in the division. So it's hard until they start playing St. Louis more and show more against Vegas. It's hard to really tell, but I just think that this division. You know, I in a lot of ways, the other night to me was very, very predictable. You played three games in a row against an Arizona team that I just don't think is any good. I think you suddenly forget how fast the game is played, and you forget what it's like to play against superstars. And the other night, Brandon Landeskog and MacKinnon just absolutely dominated the Wild. And so, you know, this is just the hard part of this league this year is when you play seven teams and you're in a division where four teams are just not very good, the three California teams in Arizona, it's hard to really get a sense of how good the Wild are. So I really think the jury's still out.
It's almost the same with the Avalanche, where they you know, win a 2-1 against Arizona, or they're losing one-goal games in overtime against the Ducks and the Coyotes, and then they have this game against Minnesota where it's super dominant, and you're like, wow, but is that reflective of who? Is that reflective of Minnesota not performing well or the Avalanche performing well? But I think, like you said, with the COVID outbreak, the team was kind of up and down. But some guys, like Kaprizov, have really been like a bright spot. He was up the entire time from game one.
Well, and the biggest difference this year is goaltending and then Zuccarello coming back. And what, you know, the first, obviously Kaprizov had a really good start to the season, but where he really took off is when Zuccarello finally made his Wild debut this season. And they just got instant chemistry. They started playing together in Zuccarello's third game, the second game of consecutive games in Anaheim. And ever since, the two of them have been more than a point a game, you know, duo on that line. And so Kaprizov, you know, as Avalanche fans know, especially because they have all the stars here in Colorado, that's the one thing that Minnesota Wild fans have been starved for since the days of Marian Gaberick. It's an actual star to root for. And Kaprizov looks like he's got that ability to be that guy. I don't know if he's ever going to be Rantanen or MacKinnon, but he, you know, he's come to the league at 23. He's played professionally for a long time, and there really hasn't been an adjustment period. And what we're starting to see now is he's shooting the puck more, and you know, he just has all the great things about his game. He's got edge work like few players I've ever seen. Maybe him and Makar might already be the best in the league from an edge work standpoint. And, you know, we'll see if it can continue. But he looks like he's running away with the Calder right now. Him and Kapanen, actually.
I want to dive a little bit more into Kaprizov here. We heard from a couple media members during that last game, Avalanche media members, that is, that Kaprizov might be the best player the Wild have ever had. Yeah. Not just recently, ever. Would you agree with that statement? And then secondly, we've heard a lot about the character of this guy. I mean, he's got the right attitude. What have you seen in that regard that's really impressed you?
Well, 100%. His teammates absolutely love him. I mean, Jared Spurgeon joked that he's been in the Wild for 10, 11 years, and they haven't made a T-shirt for him. But, you know, they made the dollar bill T-shirts. They wear them in the locker room and surprise them with it. But, he does. He just seems like has this infectious personality. And it's just really been fun to cover, you know, because from a Minnesota, I mean, it's a bland hockey team, you know, and you have this guy that comes out there and he just instantly looks like he's got the ability to be the best player in franchise history. Is he that yet? I think we've got to see him play a long time to catch up to a guy like Marian Gabbert. Gabbert, I don't think was a true star. Like, you know, to me, I got a real, like, defined view of what a superstar is. To me, a superstar is Nathan MacKinnon, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid. It's not just a guy that gets, you know, 70, 80 points. And so, you know, he's got a long way to catch up to that. But does he look like he's already the most skilled Wild player that I've ever covered? Yeah, he does. Gabrick was a different player. He was a blazing speed guy, an incredible wrist shot. He, was a pure goal scorer, but he wasn't like a dipsy doodler. He didn't, you know, like to play with the puck. It was more, you know, type of jump into space and shoot pucks and try to win games that way. And so, you know, from a pure skill talent perspective, I do think that he's got the ability to, you know, hopefully 10 years from now, be that player.
Mike, I wanted to talk about, let's call it a tad of a social media controversy from the other night.
You guys are buttering me up. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk about the shots on goal situation, yeah, and not necessarily potential inflation or not. We can get to that in a second. But just, you know, you tweeted an example of something that arguably shouldn't have been a shot. And when I read it, I thought, oh, this is stupid. Of course it's a shot because the goalie made a save. But I didn't say anything because I wasn't certain on that. And when somebody sent you the rule and you retweeted them, the rule is pretty clear, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what is your take on that altogether?
Yeah, well, I'll just be completely honest. I mean, like, what I was saying the other night was not to take anything away from the Avalanche. Like, if you read my game story, if you read my tweets, I was completely honest that the Wild are getting dominated. But I do have a pet peeve when you come to these arenas where they don't use the shot on goal definition that every other arena uses. And the reason why is because, one, we use the game sheet and the play-by-play to support what we're writing. But the other big reason that I think off-ice officials need to be cognizant of is that all our analytics sites that we use, Natural Stat Trick, Evolving Wild, Money Puck, all of them, they don't have a team of 40 people watching every game in the league. They have these algorithms where they scrub the play-by-play after a game, and that's what determines players' metrics, NHL.com as well. And so when you have a building that is taking such an egregious, where a goalie is essentially jumping up, catching a puck that's 2-3 feet, not only wide but higher than the net, and calling that a shot, to me it's a trend that they're doing. And so I was just telling Peter from the Athletic, who covers the Avalanche, he gave me a lift over the arena. I actually watched the first period over again when I got back to my hotel yesterday during the off day, just to really see how badly the Wild played in the D zone. But I decided to track the shots myself, and the shots on the game sheet after the first period were 25-6. When I redid it, it should have been 20-5. And the league actually reached out to me and essentially thanked me for putting that GIF out there the other day, because they said if that's what they're calling shots in Colorado, it's got to be addressed with them. It's just, that's not shots. And, like, again, I'm not saying that the Avalanche didn't dominate the game, but it's got to be factual. And when you have a team that is plus 13 in shot differential at home but plus 4 on the road, and when they're, you know, out shooting in the differential standpoint by like 150 over the Boston Bruins for the second place team, I do think it's something that the league has to look at here. And so that was my only point. I was not, like, I think Avalanche fans, thanks in part to Adrian Dater, I think Avalanche fans thought that I was being an absolute homer and trying to, like, rip on the Avalanche. That was absolutely not my point. Like, trust me, I watched the game. I'm getting a sit in the end zone that the Avalanche shot twice in. They absolutely worked the Wild for 60 minutes the other night. But I was just taking one example of that thing, and I'm like, if they're calling this a shot, it's got to be addressed. And I don't know if you guys saw, but in the second intermission, that shot that I actually took a picture out of it and tweeted. They actually took it off the game sheet and gave them. They went from 20 second period shots to 19, which kind of bothered me too, because the Wild team record for shots against on the road is 56. So losing a night, they had matched that team record. So I think my power saved them from having a really poor record being matched in their record book.
Well, the Avalanche fans are a bit of a reactionary bunch. There's no denying that. Yeah, and I do feel bad
because, you know, the one thing I will say that was a low blow is I shouldn't have just come out and said, like, this shot differential is bogus because it's one example. Like, that was unfair to the off-ice officials. And Avalanche fans are triggered by me for years anyway. So thanks in part, again, to Adrian Dater. So, I don't want Avalanche fans to think at all that I was trying to protect the Wild or anything. Trust me, I get into fights with the off-ice officials in Minnesota because they're the opposite. They almost take a protractor and decide angles on whether it's a shot or wide. I mean, in Minnesota, we hear them debating shots. And if you look at the history of the Minnesota Wild, when games are played there, the shots for both teams are just really, really, you know, low compared to other buildings. So in Minnesota, it's probably the opposite than it is here. So that was my only point the other night. Trust me, it wasn't to protect the Wild.
When it got me thinking, because a lot has been made recently of Colorado's shots and the shot differential in this 9-game homestand. And what also struck me is when I worked for the team, a former coach used to have me communicate with the league about the, you know, inconsistency of the home team scoring in his own building. You know, whether it was shots or face-offs or things like that. So it's definitely something, you know, it's fallible. It's a fallible system, but it's definitely something that has been an issue in Colorado in the past.
Well, you want to hear a great, great story? So when I covered the Florida Panthers, we were down in, I might get a little distracted here because warm-ups are about to begin and I got to see the Wild lineup. But so Roberto Luongo, 2 years in a row, set NHL records for shots against and saves. And Rick Dudley was the GM at the time, and they were trying to negotiate a contract with Roberto Luongo. And he went absolutely, you know what, crazy on the off-ice officials in the middle of a game right in front of me once because of the shots that in their own building that they were counting. And, you know, the off-ice officials think they were being kind to Roberto Luongo. And here's Dudley, the GM of the Panthers at the time, was just incensed because what it did is it put him in a tough position when you got the agent coming at him and saying, look at him, the guy's making unbelievable saves every single night and half of them, and Rick Dudley's mind weren't even supposed to be shot. So,
Michael, one of my last questions for you, I want to know, do you think that social media and fandom are maybe ruining sports? And the reason I ask is, Avs backup goalie Hunter Miska was essentially chased off of Twitter by Avalanche fans because he had a bad game. And you're starting to see that more and more.
Yeah, no, it really bothers me. And I know Hunter really well. I know his dad really well, and it just pains me. And I think Avalanche fans, because I look at the vitriol that I got in the last couple of days, in part, again, because of Adrian Dater, and I just think that it needs to stop. I mean, we all, I think, need to be better people. And what Avalanche fans, the ones that did that to Hunter, I think need to look themselves in the mirror and just be better people.
I agree. And I definitely, you know, I don't know if you remember, I was part of the problem for you when I worked for the Avalanche because I loved to rile up the crowd over the whole Super Mario Brothers Pac-Man sound. You even said good one to me in the press box in Minnesota once.
I know. Yep. I know. Trust me, I got to look in the mirror too. So no doubt about it.
All right, Mike, last one for you. Then we'll let you go watch a pregame skate here. Or I guess warm-ups now. Is there still a rivalry here? I think the last couple of years we kind of felt the rivalry fade amongst the teams. I feel like you stirred it up a little bit the other night again, but what's the Minnesota perspective on the quote-unquote rivalry between these two teams?
I think that until you beat them, you know, that's what determines the rivalry. I mean, these two teams don't like each other. I think it's dissipated a little bit since Nico Koivu left here. I mean, we used to see those great rivalries between Nico and Gabriel Landeskog when McLeod was here and Bayou and things like that. But look, you know, I joked in my game story the other day, Altitude called this a measuring stick game for the Avalanche the other night, and I literally laughed out loud when I heard it. And trust me, it wasn't a shot at the Altitude TV host, Lauren. I just thought it was funny that the Wild was somehow a measuring stick to a team that had Rant and Landeskog and McKinnon, and I just think until the Wild
show on an annual basis that they're as good as this team, it's still going to be the Wild playing catch up. So we'll see if it continues. Right now I think the Wild it's going to be an interesting game tonight, because I think the Wild are going to, they were challenged by their coach the last couple of days to really respond today after an awful game, their worst game of the season the other day. What I watched, because I watched the Avalanche a lot, I thought Avalanche's best game of the season the other day. And we'll see if the Wild can kind of play catch up and become a true rival again with the Avalanche.
Right on, Mike. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Enjoy the game.
Yeah, see you guys. Take care.
Yep. There you have it, Mike/Michael Russo of the Athletic Minnesota. What a treat. That was great. I mean, he really made a lot of Avalanche fans mad the other night. It's nice to have him on, and it's nice to talk, on a professional level. We're not trying to bash him. We want to hear his side of the story. And honestly, I'm starting to agree with him here.
It's funny because he's buddies with Dater, so he loves to give Dater some ribbing. I think that's the most Dater mentions we've ever had on the show by a guest. but they are similar in that people love them or hate them, and they can be divisive personalities within the fan base, but outside of the fan base in particular.
Right on. Stick around. We got PP2, George Gosdecki, joining us next here. Stick around through the break on the Hockey Show 89.1. Catch us on all replays.
98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3.
Oh, God. Thank you. Hockey Show. We'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.